Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. There are many issues you will face as you make your environment or your home rodent-free, like what methods will work, and does the situation require poisons, traps, or other methods? Then, if some kind of poison or rodenticide is used, what is available? How does it work? And most importantly, will it pose a danger to my children, dogs, and cats, and to the wildlife? Our family had a brush with rodent poison when one of our dogs got into a bait station set out to prevent squirrels from damaging a nearby levee. This particular poison consisted of oats saturated with a cobalt blue substance, and Susie shoved her snout into the dispenser before we even realized what it was. So we rushed her to the vet, who induced vomiting and placed her on a month of vitamin K. Fortunately, she did fine. Now, there have been recent changes in regulations and product availability in California and on the federal level. So to cover these and to explain how to safely deal with rodent problems, I'm pleased to welcome Jonathan Evans, who serves as Toxics and Endangered Species Campaign Director and is staff attorney for the Center for Biological Diversity. Jonathan coordinates the center's work to reduce the harm of toxic contamination on wildlife and the environment. Welcome to the program, Jonathan.
Thank you, Lori.
Would you please give us an overview on the types of rodent poisons?
Certainly. There are three main categories that we see in widespread use in the United States. These are called first-generation anticoagulant rodenticides, and what that term refers to is that these types of products are prevent the clotting of blood. They're anticoagulant, so that it leads to internal bleeding or inability of the animal to actually clot the blood when they get a cut or some type of injury. There are other types of products that are called second-generation anticoagulants, rodenticides, and those are higher potency than the first generation. And the third category are not anticoagulants. They're just other types of neurotoxins or products. And I think it's important for your listeners to realize, as you pointed out initially, is that these products are really ubiquitous, even if you're not using them in the home. There are bait boxes that are around restaurants or grocery stores or even outdoor areas around levees. So they are getting into the environment. They're getting into our families and our pets in ways that we don't even know about. And the exposure rates in the U.S. and in California are particularly widespread. We have seen data from studies across the U.S. and in California where 70% of mammals tested and 68% of birds and wildlife species are being exposed to these types of dangerous rodenticide products, and in particular the really super toxic rodenticides, which are the second generation anticoagulants, which are the higher potency types of rat and mouse poisons.
So, Jonathan, go into the risks that these poisons pose to people, companion animals, wild animals, and the environment.
Sure. You know, these products are designed to kill rodents, ground squirrels, rats, other types of organisms. So they're lethal to non-organisms that actually ingest them as well. Which is why it was so important for you to take your dog immediately to the vet to get it a type of treatment of vitamin K to allow the blood clotting again and to get that product out of the system. But we've seen it in high rates of exposure to pets and wildlife, and importantly, even children as well. You know, the Environmental Protection Agency compiled data to analyze the risks of these types of rodenticides on children and found that 15,000 children a year are accidentally exposed to rat poison. This didn't lead to fatal events in all these circumstances, certainly, thank goodness. But, you know, it really shows the amount of exposure. And these can be very toxic in a very small dose. So even minimal amounts that are ingested by children, by pets, by wildlife can be potent. And the second-generation products, which we were discussing, these super toxic products, the way that they work is it causes several days for the internal bleeding to actually lead to a lethal death. And it's, you know, it's important to recognize this is a pretty gruesome type of death. You know, it leads to convulsions. It leads to a great deal of thirst because the animal is trying to deal with the lost fluids in its body. So we really discourage your listeners from using these products at all because there are safer alternatives. When the animals go back and feed on these super toxic second-generation products, it takes them a couple days to die, so they'll go back and feed several times. And they essentially build up with a more than lethal dose. And when they're preyed upon by upper-level predators like hawks and eagles and bobcats and foxes, those animals then ingest that product as well, either directly because they're eating the product that's in the animal's stomach or because they're eating the residues that are in the animal's organs. And it is really becoming incredibly widespread in the food chain. And it's particularly harmful to a lot of these wildlife species that are actually doing their part to keep down the rodent population that people are trying to address through these poisons. You know, owls can actually ingest up to 6 mice in one feeding in a night. So these, they can be highly effective predators to help deal with our rodent control issue outside of just, outside of the own harm to the environment.
And we're going to talk about the safer alternatives in a minute. Jonathan, briefly, what's going on in the California legislative scene in this area?
Well, there is some legislation going on in California right now to eliminate some of the uses in and around natural areas. But importantly, California regulators, just the beginning of this month on January or July 1st, actually instituted a partial ban on some of these super toxic rodenticides. They now in California, you can only use the products if you're a licensed applicator. So you have to go through a certain training process because of the hazards of these products. And importantly, it gets them out of sales for residential consumers and in agricultural supply stores. So that really will reduce the amount. But we still have them out in the system. There's still a mechanism for poisoning because every time that these licensed applicators use a bait box or other type of poisoning mechanism, the rodenticides can still get up in the food chain and harm a lot of wildlife species.
What are your recommendations and the Center for Biological Diversity's recommendations for people when choosing a poison? And, Jonathan, what are the alternatives to poisons when trying to control invasive rodent populations?
And that's a really important question. You know, a lot of rats and mice do pose, you know, human health risks. With they can be disease vectors, and we know there are ways that we need to be able to manage these populations. And I think that there are very safe, affordable, and easy solutions that can be used by everyone to deal with these rodent infestations without using any type of dangerous rodenticides. Importantly, it's necessary to really prevent the infestation from happening in the first place by sealing off cracks or points of entry and eliminating the things that the rodents are going to be attracted to, food sources or water or shelter. So taking that step to eliminate them from areas that you want to get to keep them out of is really key in making sure that they don't return. Next thing you want to do is eliminate any type of, you want to identify future problems and eliminate any rats or mice that you may see. And there are ways such as using snap traps or electric traps to deal with the rodent infestation problem and really sort of eliminating things that attract them in your overall property is the best way to go.
Great. And Jonathan, where can listeners learn more about the dangers of rodenticides and safe, cost-effective alternatives to control rodents?
I encourage your listeners to visit saferodentcontrol.org, where there's a whole range of step-by-step guides to dealing with rodent control in a safe and effective manner in their homes. It also goes into more detail about the dangers that many of these rodenticides pose. So saferodentcontrol.org is your resource to find out about safe and cost-effective rodent control strategies.
And tell us your website for the Center for Biological Diversity.
Certainly. Biologicaldiversity.org. You can learn a lot more about the Center for Biological Diversity and the work that we do to protect endangered species from a range of threats, and ways that we can reduce the harms of pesticides overall on the environment.
Wonderful. Jonathan Evans serves as Toxics and Endangered Species Campaign Director and a staff attorney for the Center for Biological Diversity. Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with me and my listeners.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, we'll learn about the effects rodenticides have on bobcats with biologist Dr. Laurel Serious. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the station. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually in the U.S. On average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep because someone broke into her apartment and stole all her sheep, not to mention a 50-inch flat-screen TV. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency had helped her with renter's insurance, and she got full replacement. She has since trained her sheep to do voice impressions of various attack dogs, and now feels very safe. Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Kid, if something in this facility breaks, bends, or bursts, Grainger's got our back. 20 cases of disc springs from Grainger.com, new rotary encoder ordered on Grainger's mobile app, a dozen splash goggles from the local Grainger branch. What more could you want in life? Grainger has over 1 million products for all our facility's needs. 1 million. That's a 1 followed by 6 zeros, kid. Everything we need whenever we need it. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We've been discussing rodent control and especially the effects of rodenticides once they enter the environment. And now to take a look at another angle, I'm pleased to welcome UCLA wildlife biologist Dr. Laurel Sarias, who has been studying bobcats and the effects rodenticides have on them. Welcome to the program, Laurel.
Thank you for having me.
Laurel, what led you to decide to investigate anticoagulant rodenticides on bobcats in Southern California?
So I've been interested for as long as I can remember in studying the effects of urbanization on wildlife and especially carnivore populations. And I started working with the National Park Service as an intern before I started graduate school. And I was studying bobcats with the National Park Service, and they have been doing a long-term study since 1996 in the Thousand Oaks area, which is just outside of Los Angeles. And what they discovered in 2002 was that a disease called notoedric mange entered the population of bobcats that they were studying and caused a precipitous population decline. And consistently what they were finding is that all of the bobcats that died of notoedric mange were exposed to anticoagulant rodenticides. And so this led the National Park Service researchers to hypothesize that exposure to anticoagulant rodenticides somehow increased their susceptibility to notoedric mange, which led to their death, is death due to the disease, not from exposure to the poisons.
Mm. And how did the bobcats get exposed to the poisons?
So because bobcats are obligate carnivores, meaning they only eat live or recently dead prey, we do believe that they are being secondarily exposed to the poison. So people are targeting small mammal species that they consider pests in and around urban areas and agricultural areas. And because there's a delayed onset of action of these poisons, so once an animal ingests a lethal dose, it can take up to 10 days to die. But these poisons also have an extremely long tissue persistence of greater than a year in some species if an animal doesn't ingest a lethal dose. So there's opportunity for these small mammals that we're targeting to be running around urban or agricultural areas and potentially even moving into nearby natural areas where bobcats and other wildlife live, and then becoming prey for these predatory species. And so in that case, secondary exposure can occur for predatory species, and that's what we think is happening with the bobcats.
Laurel, we just learned from Jonathan Evans about the direct lethal effect of anticoagulant poisoning on rodents, where the animal dies of internal bleeding. Explain why the bobcats get mange when exposed to the rodenticides.
So different species have different sensitivities to these poisons. So cats are known to be relatively tolerant to the poisons, or they require a much greater dose of the poisons to die from exposure compared with, say, dogs. Dogs may be 100 times more vulnerable to the effects of the poisons than cats. And we think that this might extend also to wild cat and dog species as well. So, for example, the National Park Service is also doing a coyote study, and they found during a 9-year study that anticoagulant exposure was a second leading cause of mortality. But in contrast, in the same area, we've only ever documented one case of a bobcat to die directly of anticoagulant toxicity. So what we think is happening is that given the potential greater tolerance of cats to the poisons, they can tolerate sublethal doses, but that might have other consequences for them. So we have hypothesized that chronic exposure to the poisons somehow alters their immune function. And during my research for my PhD, I did investigate this, and I found evidence that exposure to the poisons does lead to immune dysfunction in bobcats that are chronically exposed to the poisons. And so this immune dysfunction that I've detected does explain increased susceptibility to mange. But other things that I've noticed as well is that exposure to these poisons may also increase bobcat vulnerability to other sources of mortality. So, for example, I tested the blood of 5 bobcats that were hit by cars. I tested their blood after they died, and I found that all 5 of them had been recently exposed to anticoagulant rat poisons. And so it's not a large sample size, but it does suggest that recent exposure to the anticoagulants might increase their vulnerability to being hit by cars. But we've also detected anticoagulant exposure in fetal bobcats as well. So 2 fetuses that we tested were already exposed to multiple anticoagulant compounds, and 1 was already exposed to 5 different compounds. So although we're unsure if there's reproductive consequences for wildlife, it is possible, because prenatal exposure is occurring in these animals, it is possible that there could be reproductive consequences such as increased miscarriage or even potentially congenital malformations as a result of prenatal exposure as well, although we haven't been able to document that in the field because it's just a really difficult question to address in the field and in wildlife.
And briefly and lastly, Laurel, how widespread is the problem of animals suffering from the effects of poisons not intended for them?
So during my research, I also examined the breadth of exposure across the landscape in Southern California, and I was primarily working in Ventura County, Los Angeles County, and Orange County. And I tested a couple different sample types, but testing liver is the most reliable method of trying to assess history of exposure in wildlife because the compounds accumulate in the liver. And in testing 169 livers, not including those fetal bobcats I mentioned, I detected 88% of exposure across those 3 different counties. And these were animals that died of vehicle collision, that died of notoedric mange, but also radio-collared animals that died of other causes in our study areas. These animals that I was testing, they were primarily coming from near urban areas or within urban areas, but I also tested animals in more remote locations such as state parks and was detecting exposure even in animals that we had radio-collared in state parks and we never documented to leave the boundaries of the state park. So it seems to be a pervasive problem that is not isolated to areas that are near the urban interface.
Thank you so much, Laurel Sarius. The website is urbancarnivores.com. Thank you so much, Laurel.
Thank you. Looking for a fight.
Does the economy woes and the stock market volatility have you concerned about your ability to invest for retirement? Did you know that you can diversify part or all your retirement into more secure and potentially more lucrative investments? iDirect can show you how to buy real estate, tax liens, and more inside your IRA or 401k rollover. The investment opportunities are really limitless. You don't need to be at the mercy of the stock market with your IRA or 401k. You have options. Call now to learn more about buying alternative investments inside your retirement plan. To get the most value for this investment, you must have $25,000 in rollable retirement funds. Call iDirect now and get the info packet on self-directed IRA investing. 877-278-1030. 877-278-1030. 877-278-1030. That's 877-278-1030.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Want to know the secret to success, kid? One thing, the Grainger catalog and Grainger.com. Okay, that's two things. Oh, and Grainger's got mobile apps. Those sure are convenient. Three things to succeed. Hey, and 1-800-GRAINGER. I know that number by heart. Four things. There's hundreds of branches, too. Like I said, the one secret to keep this place running smoothly is Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Traveling in the off-season can save you money. That may sound obvious, but how do you know when off-season is? This is Pauline Frommer, editor of Frommer's, with the answer straight ahead, brought to you by Hotels.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Obvious.
If a hotel doesn't charge you for something, then it's free. Either that or you stole something and got away with it. Say free backwards and you get earth. When you earn a free night with the Hotels.com rewards program, you don't just earn a night, you earn a free night.
Earn one free night for every 10 you collect with welcome rewards from Hotels.com. The obvious choice. Free night does not include taxes and fees. See site for details.
Off-season can vary by destination, but it's almost always while school is in session. Or travel just after peak times, the weeks immediately following big holidays, to get great deals in otherwise pricey locales. And remember, Hotels.com is the obvious choice when you're looking to book a great hotel room at a great price.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
Every time I rev my engine down an open stretch of road, I'm glad I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Because nothing feels better than saving money with Geico. Except maybe the time I saved a life. A squirrel's life. Gave that little feller mouth to mouth, and then he bit me. On second thought, saving money with Geico probably feels better.
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
Lori, how you doing?
I'm great. So, Peter, we asked this following question on Facebook.
Yes.
You know your cats or cat rule your life when...
Yeah, dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yes. And that's a good question.
Yeah.
If you start looking at how your life is modified when you're living with cats and all the funny things you might do, how they're really in control, then it gets a little strange, doesn't it?
It sure does.
How many times have we said, I'm glad no one's videotaping this? Well, maybe they are. So I think we are pretty guilty. But you got some pretty good responses.
We got some good responses, and we'll also add a couple, too.
Okay. And the first one, which definitely applies to us, has to do with this, with the computer and the keyboard specifically. So there you are, working on your computer. Cat comes along and wants to step on your keyboard, changing everything, wants to sit on your keyboard as if it's like the perfect spot at that moment. And you're just messed up.
It messes up your whole computer.
You had one episode where your whole aspect ratio was changed by some impossible combination of simultaneous keystrokes, right?
And I need to hire a computer expert to help me
undo the cat damage. No. That wasted a good hour of our lives.
Right.
And so and it's almost like they're attracted to keyboards, don't,
yeah,
don't you think?
It really they're attracted when you're trying to do important work.
Yeah.
That's the time.
And that is not even to mention the whole cats on video computer world. So YouTube,
right,
all the invested time of videotaping your cat and placing it on YouTube and sharing and people watching cat videos on YouTube. Well,
it's this whole surface thing. I think they like different feels, feel of surfaces, don't you?
I know they do that. We're working in the office. We set down a piece of paper and a cat lays right on it.
Or a file box that's half the size of our cat, and the cat somehow squeezes himself
in. So the cat thinks the hanging folder box is a better bed than a bed.
Right.
And so that causes you to get more hanging folder boxes and put them all over the house. So that's a little bit of control there, too. And that's that. Look, I'm just looking at them right now. There's boxes all over the place.
I know. So you know your cat rules your life when, okay, here's another one. You know, when hair on the couch or your clothes, it doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
It used to bother me. Oh, my God, I have a cat hair on me. I'd take out the little roller.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like, okay, whatever.
I know. You get sort of,
whatever.
You used to have cat hair, like not cat rolls, hair rollers all over the place.
I know.
Like a couple in the office. There was one in the car.
Right.
And you would carefully wipe down, roll your pants, and like ritualistically.
Right.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I know.
It's like they're
not
still there.
Not as meticulous anymore.
Yeah.
So what if there's a cat hair on me?
Yeah. Well, how about, does that extend to what we eat? Someone mentioned about, you know, there's a cat hair in your food. I'm not comfortable with that.
Ew.
No.
I would just blame that on you. I have a Peter hair on my food. So how about...
I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, it's one thing to have some hair on your clothing or a sock, but please not on the food.
How about your position in bed?
Yes.
That's sometimes dependent on your cat's position, right?
Yeah.
So think of the lost hours of sleep.
Yes.
And controlling, contorting, contorting your body to conform so you don't disturb the cat.
Yeah.
Right?
Dogs also, but if certain cats, they do want to.
It does apply to dogs also, you're right.
Yeah.
But the cat will get mad at me if I disturb, like,
right,
give me a mad meow. And
like, that's a big control over one's life if your sleep patterns are being disturbed.
Right.
None of us sleeps very well, and this make it even worse.
Right.
So that's, something I've become aware of recently is this whole cat litter, kitty litter sort of deal. You know, we've got a number of cat boxes in the house, and it really used to gross me out if I'm walking barefoot to step upon a little bit of stray cat litter on the ground.
You don't like the feeling of litter between your toes?
I used to hate it. It used to sort of freak me out a little bit, and I found it very gross and very disturbing, and I wipe my feet and shout at the world, clean this cat box.
Just close your eyes and think you're at the beach.
At the beach. Well, I have to tell you, it just doesn't bother me so much anymore.
Okay, good.
I feel it there. There's a memory of something that used to bug me, but it just doesn't rise up to that level. And okay, whatever. There's a cat... I mean, if dry cat litter, I can deal with.
Right.
Used cat litter, not so much.
Okay. Well, you know your cat's ruling your life then. You got used to that. How about, this is a response someone gave me. You accidentally put your child's dinner plate on the floor.
Oh. I I don't think I've done that yet.
We don't have kids, but okay.
So here's one that somebody wrote, and I have to agree with this, and that has to do with the furniture, how you furnish your house or your apartment, right? So we have experienced this, and that is when you're buying any piece of furniture, you've got the cats in mind and their ability to destroy, to be attracted to anything nice, to sort of destroy it and make it worthless. So upholstery, expensive chair, anything that they can claw or bite or destroy is just not worth buying.
Right.
So we've got so the consequence is you've got sort of wooden, indestructible furniture or furniture that is inexpensive enough that when it gets destroyed, you're not so bothered by it.
We don't care. They could scratch the heck out of it. We don't care.
And so you look at all the pleasure you're giving up to buy a nice piece of furniture and enjoy it as an object to show your friends, right? To cherish it as a family heirloom. No, you're giving up all those opportunities because your cat says, no, I'm not going to allow you that in my house.
Right.
I dare you to bring it in here.
Right.
I'm going to ruin it.
And that couch looks so much more desirable to the cat than a scratching post.
That's right. I know.
We'd put scratching posts all over our couch, surrounding our couch.
Like fortifications.
Right? You go in between the scratching post to get to the couch.
Okay, so the furniture industry is a big factor.
Yes. How about you take inordinate risks knowing your cat will likely scratch the heck out of your arm when you try to rub his tummy?
Okay.
And you still do it.
So you're playing with your cat, and you know it's going to end up badly.
Right. He's exposing his tummy to you.
Uh-huh. So he wants, okay.
You think he wants a little rub.
Uh-huh.
No, he doesn't.
And then he scratches you. Yeah. He draws blood. And you get the telltale wrist and hand scratches.
Right. And you say, okay, I guess I deserve that.
I deserve it. Well, so the cats make their feelings known when they're hungry. They meow, or some people you just leave the food out. They go there whenever they want. And really, how many different feeding stations does one household need? Well, if the cats can roam freely in your house, then they know how to find the food, and one ought to be enough, right?
Right.
Okay. Many people have said multiple cat bowls, feeding stations around the house.
Yeah.
Why is this? Because the cat has convinced you that the cat will be happier if they could have food in five different places.
Right. And that's all we want to do is make our cats happy.
And will they really be happier? Well, I don't know, but we believe so.
We do believe so.
So multiple stations.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the whole hygiene thing, you know, I've experienced this. People say you just sort of care less. The smell, occasionally there's a little odor or a big odor, and you become acclimated to it. You sort of forget, or you don't, your senses get dulled.
You don't mind.
Imagine a person who doesn't live with cats, doesn't like cats, walks into your house.
And steps on a hairball.
They're like, that's another thing. Okay, so the debris that living with cats creates. So a little bit of spit up, a piece of grass, actual hairball, a little yellow dried deposit. I mean, these are things that early in my cat life used to gross me out, freak me out, demand instantaneous attention, clean it up. Where did that come from? What's going on? And then, you know, years go by and it's like, oh, look at that. I'll get it later. It just doesn't bother you anymore.
Now, that being said,
yeah,
cats offer so much love,
mm-hmm.
and it's such a joy having them as part of our family, right?
Yes.
I don't want you to dissuade our listeners to adopt a cat.
Of course not. It's just a relationship, and you have to know who's boss. And you think you are the guardian. You're the person who saved the cat's life or keeps the household, keeps the cat safe. But no, the cat actually is in control. I think that's the point here. And we just have to face reality.
That right.
Living with cats is, you may think you're in control, but you're not.
And guests that come over, you just have to... Oh, I read a cute little one answering this question. It said, you snap your fingers and pat the sofa beside you to invite your guests to sit down.
Right.
Come here.
That's
come
right.
here. Sit down.
You stroke their knee.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know you that well.
Okay.
Do that unconsciously.
Yeah. Well, our guests will have to get used to it.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Good question.
Okay.
A little weird.
Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at AIAnimals.org.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, AIAnimals.org.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Do you make over $50,000 a year? Are you a full-time W-2 employee? How would you support your family if you lost your job? Could you survive on what state unemployment pays? Plan ahead with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance that brings you up from what state unemployment pays to 50% of your former weekly salary. If your salary is over $50,000 a year, you're a full-time W-2 employee, and you want to protect your family and assets. Call Income Assure for a free quote. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. That's 800-308-2249. See how little it costs to secure up to 50% of your salary with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance. Call Income Assure now or visit us online at www.incomeassure.com/ATM. www.incomeassure.com/ATM.
Back to Animals Today. Hello, Peter.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. I want to tell the listeners something very exciting happening for our companion animals here in the Coachella Valley. That's the Palm Springs, California area where you and I live and where Animals Today is recorded. So very recently, and for the first time ever, the animal welfare community has come together to work as a coalition toward a shared vision and goal of saving the lives of our communities, dogs and cats. So this coalition, consisting of animal shelters, rescuers, veterinarians, and animal advocates, all committed to reducing the euthanasia or killing of healthy and treatable dogs and cats in the Coachella Valley. And we call this coalition No Kill Coachella Valley. Now, the term no kill is really gaining acceptance nationwide. And what it means is that animals in shelters are only euthanized for compassionate reasons, like to relieve them from extreme suffering, or for safety reasons, where an animal might pose a risk to humans or other animals. So, which means you're not killing shelter animals for reasons like lack of space or lack of resources, which most of our shelters do. Now, compared to other communities, our valley has really been lagging behind in terms of its treatment of homeless dogs and cats. I'll tell you, last year in 2013, over 5,000 animals were euthanized in Coachella Valley shelters, and that equates to about half of the animals. So half the animals that enter the shelters are killed, and that's just unacceptable. So this is a much-needed transformation of our community, and the Coachella Valley will join the estimated 240 or so other communities in our country that have achieved or are striving for no-kill status.
Great news.
Yeah, I know.
So looking forward to seeing action and cooperation, aren't we?
Yes, you will see it.
It's sort of overdue.
Yeah, it is overdue, but you're going to see it. It's beautiful. Happening right now. What's going on in the news?
Well, big dog fighting ring was busted recently, and the ringleader just pled guilty, and it's an interesting story. His name's Donnie Anderson. He was the key figure in a group of co-conspirators down in Alabama area, and during August of 2013, the ring was taken down, and the operation ended. Law enforcement personnel seized guns, illegal drugs, and drug use to treat and train the dogs, and more than $500,000 in cash. Mm. A reminder of all the fun stuff that goes along with dog fighting. Right. So we know about that. So in his plea agreement, Anderson, he admitted to organizing and holding the dog fights, mostly in the Auburn, Alabama area from 2009 to 2013, as well as, listen to this, charging spectators an entrance fee between $100 and $150, right? If you're fighting a dog, you don't have to pay the entrance fee. The dog owners and spectators were betting on the outcome of the fights, as you know, putting up a total of anywhere between $20,000 and $200,000 per fight, right? And Anderson admitted to not only hosting the fights, but along with his co-conspirators, buying, selling, transporting, housing, and training the dogs used in the fights.
Yeah, it's so sad. In many states, there's also, isn't there a law that where the spectators are also held liable?
Yes, exactly. You should know that you just cannot wander into these events. In February, it was actually a new federal provision made it a crime to knowingly attend an animal fighting event and to knowingly bring a child under 16 to such an event. So that was another, you could claim I had nothing to do with this if you were there, but now if you're anywhere there, then they're going to find you.
Good.
Yes. So that's courtesy of the FBI website, actually.
Wow.
Yes. Do you remember one of the first shows we did on Animals Today had to do with birds and airliners? And
yes.
Yes. This is after the bird strike in New York, right?
On the Hudson River.
Yeah.
And yes, I remember.
Well, this problem continues, and the latest flavor of this is in Houston. The contractor is killing their local birds using corn kernels laced with a nerve agent. and the birds are dying, and they show horrible alarm cries and trembling, and then they die. And so this has been brought up because people, a lot of opponents are wondering if there's something else you can do besides just poisoning the birds. And just to illustrate the ongoing conflict between airplanes, airports, and birds, and it requires a lot of give and take.
Well, we've talked about this on the radio, and there are alternative humane ways to get the birds off the tarmac, correct?
Yes, there are ways. They tend to be more expensive and require a lot more manpower. But one thing certainly that is advised is not to make the airport and surrounding areas hospitable to the birds, such as you don't want to have it near wetlands or a lake, and you want to get rid of the trees and stuff like that.
And poisoning them in a very painful way is not the answer.
Well, we don't think it's the answer. There's got to be better ways.
Okay.
I don't want my plane to be taken down, though. There's the controversy.
That's right.
In the Calgary Stampede, you know, the Calgary Stampede is the yearly big rodeo up in Canada, and that's probably the biggest rodeo in North America. 2 weeks of rodeo horrors. Anyway, a steer had to be euthanized. It was injured during a steer wrestling event, and I saw the video on this thing. So in the ring, the steer goes lame, and then they realize that it's not going to be able to participate or get out of there, and you've got all the cowboys come around, and they hold up a screen around the animal, and then the vet comes in and provides the lethal dose, and then they sort of drag it away.
Oh, that's so sad.
And
it's just terrible.
The comments are great. One of the steer wrestlers, Casey Martin, he says, "You never want to see something like this. I run horned cattle on my ranch, and I throw them down often to do medical and field doctoring. When I realized this steer was injured, I held him still to prevent any further injury."
Wow.
So, you know.
Yeah, and of course they put up the screen so no one can see what's going on there and the suffering of this animal.
Right. James Cameron, you know, producer James Cameron and his wife, they have launched a new campaign to advocate sustainable plant-only based diet. They're interested in protecting the environment and also their health, and they are going to launch a multimedia and multimodality effort to convince people to adopt plant-based diets as a means of protecting the environment. They cite that lower amount of greenhouse gases that vegans create compared to meat eaters, which we know about that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome, Lori.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.